is the Day Zero update for January 8th, 2017. I'm Filippo DeNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And first show of the year. 2016 is done, and we're back for a new year, and hopefully it's going to be a lot better than last year was.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Nobody's died yet, so at least that's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But we've, it's like I forgot how to do this podcast over the holiday break, apparently. Yeah.
It's been about 3 weeks since we did a show.
Yeah, so I kind of forgot how to host a podcast, apparently. But anyways, so we got stuff to talk about. Despite the fact that it's been a couple of holiday weeks, there's still quite a few stories that have surfaced. So we'll be talking about those. We'll be going over our games of the year and probably talking a little bit about what we expect to see in 2017. So we're going to get to that. But before we do, well, it's time to catch up and see what we've been doing for the past couple of weeks. And me, it's been mostly Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls, because, as we have a story on later on in the lineup, but might as well mention it now, the Diablo 20th Anniversary update launched. It's going to be available for the rest of January, so if you're not playing the game yet, you probably should. It's really good stuff. I'm going to have to work my way up to a million gold so I can get that damn cow pet. Yeah. Well, not bad. I'm like close to 500 grand right now, so should be able to make it. By the time I get to Diablo himself, I'll probably have enough to manage it. So that's pretty much been what I've been doing. I'm very surprised by just how much effort went into that patch, because it even like looks retro, and it's like the animation is like like it was done in 1996. So yeah, it's like you take a time warp when you go into that particular map. But hey, it's fun. Yeah, so that's pretty much been my couple of weeks. How about you, Pat?
I've been sticking with Street Fighter V for a good deal of my fighting gaming. As I mentioned on Let's Weekend a couple nights ago, I switched main characters to Geef and have just been making strides learning him and this version of him. To the point where I'm just going through this pretty substantial leap up the rankings. It's kind of a correction of just to reflect where I am as a Zangief player now. It's a good feeling, and it's one that I haven't experienced in quite some time, so I'm enjoying that. Got Yakuza 0 for the review. Kind of barely scratched the surface of that one so far, but it's Yakuza, so I'm really looking forward to what lies ahead there.
Yeah.
And then Outrun 2006 for my bite-sized racing.
Yeah.
Which I always have to have in some form or another.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that the last time we got an Outrun game was 10 years ago.
Well, it just makes that that Outrun news from, was it the last episode of this?
Yeah, I think it was right before the holidays we talked about it a bit.
Yeah, it was the last episode of the Day Zero update. That Outrun 3 is something that they may not necessarily be working on, but they're certainly thinking about it.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll hear more about that in the coming months.
Yeah. And obviously, you're still recovering from your sickness, so.
I'm getting there. I don't sound fantastic, but to be honest, I feel a lot better than I did a couple nights ago.
Yeah, good stuff. So how about you, Brandon?
Still playing Final Fantasy 15. I'm still enjoying it. Still need to watch Kingsglaive, because, well, the plot's getting to the point where I'm starting to realize I'm kind of missing out on some stuff.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, the boss fights in this game, especially the ones I've encountered so far, first of all, they're visually a sight to behold. I mean, they really are. Hmm. Pretty amazing to watch. But they are hard as hell, though. Because on top of, like, normal tactics and stuff, you also gotta watch out for your damage, and you actively, like, sometimes actively have to, like, take cover.
Yeah.
Because some of these spells, for lack of a better word, that some of these bosses have are massive, and they do an enormous amount of damage.
Yeah.
In a very short amount of time.
It also doesn't help that friendly fire is a thing.
Yeah, friendly fire is a thing. Normally, yeah, because, like, spells and everything, yeah, you have to be aiming really careful, because if you're not, yeah, you can totally wipe yourself and the rest of your party out completely.
Yeah.
So that's enjoyable. Also, started playing, well, I said started playing, I'm a good deal into Fate Stay Night, which, of course, is the famous visual novel by Type Moon.
Yep.
I'm in, I think, section 6, I think it is, of the Fate arc. So, you know, still at the beginning of the game, because the game, you know, the game basically goes through, like, 3 arcs, and in order to get through them, you have to go play through the game, like, 3 different times. But, yeah, so definitely enjoyable. Definitely got some great characters in it. It's really funny at times.
Yeah.
Also, just sort of the universe and stuff that they're set up for this series is really interesting. Yep. It's like, it sort of plays and kind of plays around and deconstructs with the whole concept of, like, summoning a spirit or summoning a hero.
Yeah.
Like a legendary hero to fight by your side, because one of the things that the game makes clear is that heroism doesn't necessarily mean that they were a good person in life. Like, one of the big, one of the first, like, rival, they're called servants in this game, and they're basically, like, familiars that are, like, the souls of legendary heroes coming back, you know, to help fight you, and so a lot of times they...
major historical figures.
Yeah. And the very first one you end up going against is actually... is called one of the Berserker, because there's, like, 7 classes of servants. Yeah. And the Berserker you end up going up against is revealed to actually be Heracles. Mm. Or Hercules, as most people know him. Mm. And he is a big giant who wants you dead.
Yeah. And you, the main character does not find out his identity until after taking a punch from him.
Yeah.
Which he barely lives through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, you know, and it's, again, it's a school story, and I don't know why, but those always work wonders for me for some reason. That's a lot. That's sort of a lot of the standard plots, is it's folks going through, you know, having to do with school and then crazy shit at home. It's a lot of fun, though. So that's what I've been doing. What about you, Teresa?
I have been playing some new stuff. I got Unravel the other day, and that game is going to break my heart. I already know it will. But it is... I know the word stunning just doesn't cover it. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that I've been enjoying quite a bit. I picked up Overwatch from the library, and I've been fooling around with that this week, and it's fun, and I can see how a lot of people are going to spend a lot of hours playing it, and I am not going to be one of them. Because I kind of suck at these games, so it has some fun gameplay for me, but it's limited. So I get really frustrated when, but I've also been playing Mario Party 10, which is cute, cool, like it. That's good. And my, I guess what I call my maintenance games, Forza Horizon 3 has entered that. That's gonna be a thing for a long time. I played a lot of Pokemon Go because they had a couple of special events going on, around Christmas and stuff. And I got all of my starter Pokemon evolves, and I got some pretty good ones, so that's cool. And then, all my other piddly little games, Animal Crossing, whatnot. But been kind of playing a lot of stuff lately. So it's been cold. All the Christmas presents are bought and opened, and I have more to play that I got too. So.
I see you have Overwatch here on your list.
From the library.
I started building a gaming computer, and I got pissed off and returned everything. I got an Xbox 3, Xbox One. I was just like, you know what? This isn't exactly what I want to do. So yeah, we did that, and everybody's enjoying it so far. I requested the Telltale Games Batman series for Scott. So once we get that from the library, we'll be playing that. And I'm really digging the borrowing games from a library thing.
Yeah, I wish we had that here.
Yeah.
I
The
wish
only
we had
problem.
that here.
Well, the only problem is going to be, managing hard drive space. So I'll have to delete a lot of stuff and probably wait, for a nice passport drive to go on Slick Deals, pick up like a 4 terabyte passport drive. So yeah, it's nice because we have reciprocal lending in our state, so we get to borrow games from other libraries that allow that. Not every library will allow the lending of all digital media, but it's pretty nice. It's for everybody out there. If your libraries have manga collections, video games, movies, just do it. Audiobooks, just do it. It's
Just go get
awesome.
a library card. You only have to redeem them like once every 12 months or so, if
Couple
that.
of years, every couple of years. It's that's why we pay taxes, or why our parents pay taxes, depending on our age. it's been a lot, but it's been fun. What about you, Chris?
So one of the things I was playing right around New Year's was Batman Season 1, which actually was really cool to play. Because they kind of do their own twist on the Batman story, in a sense. So that the main hook on the whole season is allegations surfacing that Thomas and Martha Wayne were somehow involved in the Falcone mafia stuff. So that they were kind of potentially dirty money. That's what all of the Wayne Foundation's been built on, and stepping on most of the people that supposedly Bruce has been wanting to help, especially since he is trying to set up a memorial mental hospital in their honor to replace Arkham Asylum. And along with that, they sort of go on a bunch of the smaller villains. You're sort of trying to work with Harvey Dent to get him elected over the current mayor, who is quite corrupt and all that. But besides that, they introduce a new villain based on a character that that you wouldn't expect it to come from. I looked up on the Batman Wiki just to make sure this was all new stuff, and yeah, it is. So yeah, it was really cool. The Joker's in there, but he's not the Joker yet. He's just in Arkham Asylum. as just kind of a John Doe figure, who is kind of actually helpful to Bruce Wayne at certain points. So that was really cool to play through. So it's always nice to see like a Batman story that's new. Along with that, I've also been playing more Diablo 3, sort of playing the anniversary stuff. And yeah, that it's not that long of a dungeon to get through. It's only 16 floors.
Okay.
So I spent like maybe 2 hours going through it. And beats the Dark Lord at the end, and that was it.
Yeah.
Not really much fanfare or anything like that that I was expecting. But I managed to, you know, when you get to the old Tristram when you first start it?
Yeah.
There's sort of bodies around. It's like, oh, you can't do anything with this yet.
Yeah.
It's like I figured that all out. That involves finding something specific in the dungeons and figure out which one to give it to.
Yeah.
And that starts like a chain to get you a new transmog item.
Yeah, you get Wurt's leg, and that's where I'm at this point, because
yeah.
I need 1,000,000 gold to craft it.
And I think I want to get the butcher pet. I think the only pet I have on there is the mimic chest. So I got him, and I got a goblin, a treasure goblin that's following me around. So you see that. So even when you go into like the dark area, the blind area.
Yeah.
You can still see like the gold flying out of this chest as he's running around. So it's like, oh, I can see there's something over there. But yeah, coming in with my level 70 max character that's just doing Paragon levels.
Yeah.
None of that was hard at all.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Yeah, I started over for that one. So.
Yeah, I think you have to start over to get the butcher pet.
Hmm.
Which it says you have to start from level 1. Does that just mean just start from the beginning of the game?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'll have to figure that out. And I know there's another pet.
Yeah, well, I mean, you really literally have to start a new character to get the that one. So. So.
Yeah, so that's good. I was also checking out some of the other games to see what they added for Diablo stuff.
Yeah.
Like Overwatch has a new icon and a bunch of sprays, Diablo sprays.
Yeah.
So I got my character icon is the devil, which sticks out nicely in Overwatch. What else? I started up StarCraft 2 just for a second. It's like just icons you can get for that game.
Yeah.
I think there's something for Hearthstone.
Yeah, there's some stuff for some cards for Hearthstone, and what else? There's, I think, pets for Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to skip that one.
Mm.
I started up Hearthstone for the first time in probably about a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, beat these AI, and I did that. It's like, oh, here's 3 extra packs.
Mm.
It's like, I got all these new cards, and I had no idea what to do with them. It's no sense of building decks that I have any clue about anymore.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm 2 or 3 expansions behind. I also was playing Let It Die some more on PS4.
Yeah.
Which is the Suda 51 roguelite free-to-play game. It's kind of Dark Souls-ish. Still really good. I got up to level 3 in the tower. I'm kind of doing some grinding there, just trying to get new blueprints and some materials to try and build the stuff I have, sort of get some better gear, as well as get some more experience to level up and do some of that. But the funny thing when starting that back up after about a month break is that they give you a bunch of stuff. It's like, oh, we had downtime. Here's some death metal, I think is what their premium currency is called. And you know, here's some of that, and here's other things, and it's like all these different things, like apologies and yay, we hit 1,000,000 kill or 1,000,000 deaths, here's some stuff. Now I literally have stuff I cannot redeem because it puts me over the max amount of money that I can hold at one time. I can't really spend it either.
Whoops.
Because I don't have much in the way of blueprints to buy, that sort of stuff. So it's like, I need to play more so I can redeem this stuff.
You know, that's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah. Getting some of the ridiculous loot in there. I was running around with a traffic cone on my head as armor. But now I got a new blueprint for a helmet, so I can actually... Because the stuff you find is like almost running out. It's like maybe a quarter of the durability left on most of the items at most. But if you craft it yourself out of blueprints, it's full.
Yeah.
So it's a huge difference. It's not like, oh, I picked up this apron and it's going to take like 4 or 5 hits to die, to break. That's still a fun game. Definitely seems like there's not as much like free-to-play limitations on that without putting money in there, as some people were saying. From what I've seen, like Jeff Gerstmann's been really into it, playing it a lot. So stuff he's shown as far as like limitations is not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And along with that, I've been playing Song of the Deep, which is Insomniac's underwater Metroid style game.
Yeah.
That game looks real good. The 2D art is just really great to look at. And try and just, just explore that whole underwater world. Just see some of the crazy stuff they have in there. It's getting to a point where it's getting somewhat hard. Mainly, some of the enemies, if you're not paying attention, can just kill you real quick.
Yeah.
But you can go to any of the save points and you'll replenish all your health and energy real quick. But it's been pretty good so far. I'm still trying to get to the point where I can actually sort of go back to some of the earlier areas and unlock some of the things, but I'm not that far into it yet. I'm just a couple hours in.
Yeah.
But so far it's pretty good. Definitely one of the cooler things they've done beyond just their main IPs. So people should definitely check that out. And I think that's been it.
Cool. So definitely a very eventful couple of weeks for most of us. So.
Yeah,
which is really cool. So we might as well get to the meat of the show, and we're going to start off with some Nintendo stories. This one, I can't say I didn't see coming.
Oh, no.
So it's good to know that we're finally there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Nintendo, you know, has been very litigious about defending their IP to the point where, let's just face it, they've been dicks.
Yeah.
So a bunch of fan devs have banded together in retaliation for this dickery. So, congrats, Nintendo. You've managed to piss off your fans.
To the point now that they're actually uniting against you.
Yeah.
This particular situation wasn't actually even in response to a fan game as you normally think of them. This was about Pokemon Prism, which was a ROM hack. And Nintendo sent out the cease and desist. The original creator is legally barred from being involved in the project as a result, but other fan developers have kind of banded together to finish the project and just create a development environment around it that Nintendo would have a very hard time getting at with a cease and desist. If this is how they're going to respond to this sort of thing in the future, we might finally be seeing the beginning of the end of this kind of treatment of fan games by Nintendo.
Yeah, well, something's got to give here. You know, it's either Because, I mean, Nintendo really values their IP. I've said it many times, they value their IP more than their community and their fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but if franchises like Star Wars and Star Trek have specific carve-outs for this kind of thing, you know, those franchises are far more valuable than Mario will ever be. Nintendo really needs to realize that, you know, you piss off your fans, eventually you won't have any more fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, it took many, many years, but Disney eventually realized that allowing people to, you know, create fan works of their various properties and, you know, and use them for parody and stuff, that it's better to just let that stuff alone, because if you try to go against it, it's going to screw with your public image. I mean, there was a time when Disney was going after, like, daycare centers for, you know, painting Disney characters on their walls.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you get to that point, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
And last year you had Sega more or less going to them and saying, guys, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like, seriously? Yeah, Sega's an interesting company in that, you know, like I said, they've embraced the
fan community pretty much.
Yeah, they've embraced the fan community pretty much, and they're also drawing from the fan community. So, yep. You know, it's like, instead of seeing the fans as antagonists, they see them as potential collaborators, which, you know, is
actually a healthy way of going about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They hired fans to make Sonic Mania.
Yeah, and they're doing a hell of a job with it so far.
Yeah. And for all intents and purposes, that game looks like it's going to be a winner.
Yeah.
Shit, that's coming soon, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, Nintendo. Yeah, it's 2017. Maybe your New Year's resolution should be that you're not going to sue your fans. Just saying. So, yeah. In other Nintendo news, a couple of various hackers. Well, two. One from Russia, and the other one was from China. No, Japan. Sorry. Have found their way into the NES Classic by plugging it into a computer.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, so
now I'm interested.
Yeah, so have they found anything substantial yet?
They managed to add games.
Wow.
Which is exactly the feature that it needed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that and maybe less input lag.
Yeah. You know, it's not that bad. Yeah. You know, input lag is also dependent on your TV and the rest of the chain that you're going through, yeah. But yeah, there's always going to be a little bit of it when you're playing on an HDTV. So
like, what? How are they adding games? Are they putting ROMs in there? Or?
Yeah.
They managed to add entries into the menu. So they've got all of the with all the functions. All of the ROMs are there. The artwork is there. So they managed to pretty much do exactly what we want to do.
Here's the thing I find intriguing about that.
Hmm.
The reports that I've been reading about it have said that they have not run into any real storage restraints.
Well, there's 256 megs of storage on the NES Classic itself, and that's not all of that is full. Like, there's only a fraction of that is taken up by the OS and the ROMs that are there. So you got quite a bit of
You're not going to be putting a complete library on there, but you'll get all the important stuff.
Yeah, you'll get all the stuff that you really want on there. You know, it's like you could put Mega Man 1-6 on there, but why would you want?
And did four?
And did, yeah. So, but you could also use this to put fan hacks on there, like Ninja Gaiden 3 Restored.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be fun to put on there. Rad Racer. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having that on there.
Oh.
So, yeah, you could basically turn it into the definitive NES Classic. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is, like I'd been saying from the beginning, exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of hassle over what you could just do with a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
It's much cheaper, yeah, that... much more easily available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And WD has a drive Pi, a Pi drive now. They've got a solid state drive with a USB hookup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, you know, if this is a basically a little, complete little package for $60, if you can actually find it for that price. Whereas, you know,
well, now that the holidays are over, that should become a lot more likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully. Maybe start checking eBay and see how quickly the prices drop.
Yeah, the only problem now is that Nintendo might take their ball and go home because it's not like they can patch it out.
Yeah, they might just leave it because, they made a console with no network connectivity. So if they want to fix it, well, they have to fix it in hardware by disconnecting data pins. And what are the, and that's not going to be hard to reconnect. So... basically,
that's a good point. That's a good point, Pat. They may take their ball and go home.
Yeah, I can see them just, okay, no more NES Classic Editions. Y'all fucked it up.
Yeah.
This is Nintendo we're talking about.
Yeah, this is Nintendo we're talking about. But, you know, this would be a great way for them to, well, piss off their fans even more. So there. Yeah. So, we'll keep an eye on this. I like the Pi. I like the homebrew scene. And, well.
Yeah.
But there's just something to be said about this cute little thing that looks like a NES that you can just play stuff on, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the kind of thing that I would give my mom, because she loves that kind of thing. So, I mean, she wants to play Mario. She wants to play Donkey Kong. And really don't want to have to mess with, you know, Linux and stuff to do it, so figure, well, this is a good solution for her. Just plug it in and play. Hmm.
So. Yep.
And, so moving on, we got Unreal Engine games for Switch, a possibility. I've seen some footage of the Unreal Engine running on the Switch. Looks pretty good.
Yep.
What resolution we're actually going to be running that at, we don't know. Probably 720p, probably, but not really too bothered by that.
No. And you know, I'm pretty sure that was Unreal able to work on the Wii U?
Barely.
Yeah. So at least we can at least say with this it's a significant jump.
Yeah.
I mean, granted that it's a significant jump to where, you know, the rest of the consoles are, but
yeah. You know,
it's Nintendo, baby steps.
Yeah, I should point out that this week is Thursday, actually, is the day that we're going to get all of the details, hopefully, on the Switch. So we'll probably know the launch lineup. We'll probably know the price. We might know, like, the specifics of, you know, what changes when you dock it or, you know, when you're leaving it as a mobile device. Because, there's claims that it will downclock itself significantly if you don't have it docked. So, like, yeah, you lose 40% of your power for the portability.
So your battery doesn't die in an hour.
But what does that do to the experience of the games?
Yeah.
You know, so, and are they going to have to, are developers going to have to, develop specifically for the mobile clocks and then maybe turn things up when you dock it? You know, it's
seem like the likely thing.
Yeah.
I've got my theories. What do we know the resolution of the handheld screen?
It's I think it's 720p.
Hmm.
And 1080p on TV.
Yeah.
So you get your HD remaster on TV.
Yeah. Well, probably upscaled. I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will find out Thursday and Friday. There's going to be events. So I'm hearing rumors that Breath of the Wild might actually make launch.
That would be huge.
If they manage.
And amazing. Yeah. And kind of unprecedented.
it's like, from what I've been hearing, Breath of the Wild might make launch. The Mario game might make launch, and a Mario Kart game also make launch. That would be an amazing lineup to launch with.
That would probably be the best Nintendo launch ever.
Yeah.
That sounds highly impossible.
I can't think of anything.
I really can't. Yeah, it's not because, I mean, a Zelda title has never, ever made a console launch.
Yeah, but
Twilight Princess
did. But keep in mind how long Breath of the Wild has been in development.
I mean, that's true. And they also got extra health from, like, Monolith, so.
Yeah. So, you know, I could see Breath of the Wild actually making it. That Mario game, very likely. It's the Mario Kart that's the wild card, but it kind of shouldn't be. But if they could manage to pull all those three games,
wow,
major first party games, those are system sellers.
Yeah. Yep. If they got that down, really, their only other major obstacle is third party.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And by all accounts, third parties are kind of on board with this.
Okay.
Yeah, third-party problems may be a thing later on down the line, but for right now, they are lining up to support this thing.
Yeah. So. Cross your fingers, folks, because Nintendo needs a win really bad right now.
Yeah.
It's you know that Mario game that's supposedly that 3D Mario game that's supposed to be coming to the Switch was originally going to be a Wii U title, but they ditched the Wii U.
Just
probably for the game's benefit.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it just goes to show that even Nintendo knows the Wii U's days are numbered. Yep. So,
well, it's a new regime over there. I mean, you know, they got Nintendo of America's dude heading the company now. He knew the American market more than Iwata and everyone else did, pretty much.
And he was also extremely anti-Wii U.
He was pretty much, he made no secret, he thought the Wii U was a massive blunder on Nintendo's part.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. If as long as Nintendo can, you know, get those games out there, and if the rumors of Beyond Good and Evil 2 happen to be true, yeah, that's
so much the better.
Yeah, so much the better. That's a cult classic, you know, fan favorite type game that will probably, you know, gain a lot of goodwill. So, not sure how well it'll sell for Ubisoft, but
For all intent, the rumor it goes is that it's basically going to be a system exclusive for its first year.
Yeah,
and then it'll spread out to the other consoles afterwards.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our Nintendo news for the moment. Boy,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. you know, Nintendo, you make it hard to love you sometimes. It's like an abusive relationship.
You're smothering me away. You're pushing me away. You're smothering me.
Yeah. So, anyways. So in news that will make Brandon squee, Mass Effect...
Well, not really, because I'm the one who put it up here.
Yeah, well, you probably squeed when you saw it, so there.
Oh yeah, I did.
So, release date, Mass Effect Andromeda
Neighbor's
March.
Neighbor's dog started barking.
Yeah. March 21st is when you'll get your hands on the new Mass Effect.
That is a lot sooner than I thought.
Yeah.
Well, they've been baking this thing pretty much since... before even Mass Effect 3 was released, so...
Yeah, but isn't that the kind of game you release over the holidays on general principle?
But they delayed it a couple times because they wanted to make sure... Well, you have to remember they're being very careful because... you remember what ended up happening to Mass Effect 3?
Mm-hmm.
The whole ending debacle?
Yeah, and, you know, some other stuff. They're trying to make sure that this one's going to come off with a better...
Yeah, they also delayed it so that, I think specifically to give themselves some breathing room, because they kind of buried Titanfall 2, a game that was really, really good, came in a week before Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's... the audiences at those two games go after are pretty much the same. Why would you do that? Why would you launch Titanfall 2?
And then, they had a derp.
Yeah, it's one of those, duh. Yeah. They really should have, well, either delayed Battlefield 1 or delayed Titanfall 2 to, well, now would have been a good time to launch it.
Yeah, Mass Effect 1 and 2 were, no, 2 and 3 were early parts of the year releases.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So this is sort of continuing that trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, so that's going to be good to
see. I mean,
see,
I would, if it was a Christmas release, I would be all over it.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. Because, I mean, that's pretty much how the first Mass Effect was for me. I got that on Christmas the year it came out.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be out in a couple of months, and we'll all be better for it.
Yep.
So we, let's see what's here. Oh, yeah, Injustice 2. The release date for that has been set for May 16th.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that it would have come out at the end of 2016, but no, I'm okay with this, since I don't really have anything to play in May, so...
Nope. Okay. Have we gotten anything new about who's going to be on the roster yet? Or are we just...
I think they revealed some people.
I think they dropped a trailer a few weeks ago, but I'm not positive about that. Yeah. I haven't been following this one too closely.
Yeah. So I'll play it when it comes out. I'm not gonna probably, you know, go overboard.
Well, I loved the first Injustice, so
yeah, it was good. But it suffered from that first NetherRealm game syndrome, where it was just kind of a little stiff.
It was actually the second NetherRealm.
No, first in series, I mean.
Yeah.
Because, it's MK9, and then, which was also kind of stiff, and then MK10, which was about as smooth as you'd get.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of that thing.
Yeah, I like this article's skeptical about this being the date, because there's like an original story was supposedly Ed Boon leaking it. It's like, all he posted was an image that I2.05.16.17. Yeah. How much more do you need?
Yeah,
Boon putting that.
Yeah, the problem is whenever you see stuff from Ed Boon, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt because he does love to troll people.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he also likes teasing.
Yeah,
is good news.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. Superheroes beating the crap out of each other. We're gonna have
it sells.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a good year for that in 2017. Yeah. That and MVC Infinite, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah, should be fun. All right, in other news, Sega has registered ShenmueHD.com. Surprising absolutely nobody.
Nope.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this when Shenmue 3 got announced, that Sega was probably going to want to strike first with HD remasters of the first two games.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that leading up to Shenmue 3, you could have your save states going from one to another to another.
Yeah.
It looks like they're taking the initiative on that. And there are some implications there, because if they're just getting underway with that project, then I can see that actually pushing Shenmue 3 out a little further.
Mm-hmm.
But not that that's necessarily a bad thing. If they stagger their releases, like, Shenmue HD could be September, October, right around. Shenmue 2 HD could be March or April of 2018. And then you could aim Shenmue 3 at holiday 2018. Meanwhile, to compensate for... delaying Yu Suzuki's project, they could be sending him money and saying, look, we appreciate you going along with this whole plan to get the entire series on one page. Here's money. Go ahead and add the things that you wanted to add that you weren't able to crowdfund and do that with the next year and a half. That is a bit of a presumption, but it makes a lot of sense if you look at the timing of all this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we aren't going to know anything for sure until whatever they've got planned for ShenmueHD.com, you know, actually arrives.
Yeah.
But that's that's kind of the gut feeling I have about this. They're on the same page. They want to get, you know, one standardized version of the series, but I think it's going to push Shenmue 3 out a little bit.
Yeah, it could, unless those HD remasters have already been in the works for a good long time, which is highly possible. You know, we don't know the timings of these yet, but given that they're registering the domain now, chances are they're pretty close to being ready to go.
Yeah. I like the crowdfunded features idea better, but it's a good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very possible that the HD remaster started work as soon as Shenmue 3 did. Yeah, that's also a possibility, because that would be about the same time that this new era of Sega started.
That's true. They just started kicking all manner of ass, and yeah, that is incredibly valid.
Yeah, of course it could also
might be time to might be time Sega to start, you know, maybe revisiting Phantasy Star.
Yeah,
just an idea.
Oh yeah, my money's behind that.
Yep.
See, as a fan developer myself, I would love to be a part of a Phantasy Star revival personally.
Well, yeah,
that's like dream project territory. That and Breath of Fire.
Yeah.
Maybe revisit some of your older, like Fantasy Zone.
Yeah, they get back into the cute 'em up genres. Those would be pretty good. So
maybe do a revival of Space Harrier?
They played with those a little bit on the 3D Classics.
Yeah, those are basically re-releases, though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of a message that, hey, Sega remembers these series.
Yeah.
Everything matters at this moment.
Yeah. Just make sure that if you go back, you give us quality and not member berries. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a problem with Sega. They seem to have it pretty well together.
Yeah. Yeah, merger / acquisition with Atlas was probably like the best thing to happen to them.
Yes.
So.
And they even admitted at the time that we bought ourselves a role model.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, so moving on. For the Final Fantasy XIV fans, that's Teresa and Patrick, because they're the ones who play it on the show. Square Enix drops a not massive 8-minute trailer for patch 3.5.
I cannot wait until this comes out. We're a little more than a week away, but I am just ready to gorge on this content.
Yeah, it's like I'm not even playing this game, and I'm like, oh my god, I wish I were. I wish this wasn't an MMO, because I would be all in it, but
well, the required multiplayer, the required multiplayer gameplay is actually very minimal if you just want to go in and experience a Final Fantasy game.
But then you still have to pay per month, so you know that's I don't want that.
You can get a lot done in a month, though.
Yeah, I mean, for $30, you could probably, you know. Well, less than 32 months, you could wipe it out. Excuse me.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it, like I said, it's a proper Final Fantasy with a proper cast and story.
Yeah.
Probably the best Final Fantasy cast in years.
Yeah.
Alternately, you could also YouTube it, but...
Yeah. And that's
More fun to play.
Yeah,
it's true.
So. And it's beautiful. I mean...
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. What else we got here? Oh, more Crytek news.
Yep.
Oh, before we move on to that, I just want to say I love how Square Enix is going all in on the Final Fantasy VI content for this patch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we knew about Zuverin already, but now Doomgaze as well. That's going to be a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
It looks awesome from the snippet we see of it in the trailer.
Yeah.
And just like Final Fantasy VI, you're fighting them on the deck of an airship. So
makes
that's
going to
be That's going to be fun.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. So one of Crytek's former studios has actually resurfaced as a new entity. Now, what's going on here?
Yeah, so this was formerly Crytek Black Sea. And so now they have formed their own developer called Black Sea Games. They're currently working on something, not announcing anything, but their mission statement is, "Our mission is to create hardcore games that will entertain you over and over again. We believe the best gaming experiences are coming from challenging the players with meaningful choices, while giving them the freedom to create and share their own in-game stories." So, yeah, the head of this new studio was the managing director for the Crytek Black Sea studio.
Yeah.
And, this team was actually known as Black Sea Studios back in 2001 before they got purchased by Crytek in 2008.
So they were independent before, and then they got purchased by Crytek, and now they're independent again.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good to see they're not out of a job.
Despite the fact that Crytek is imploding, at least those good developer teams are finding their way.
Yep.
Yeah,
we'll wait and see what they have to offer. I'm pretty sure they'll probably want to show some stuff soon. Okay. Starbound developer Chucklefish is working on a Fire Emblem type PC game.
Yeah, they call it a Fire Emblem / Advanced War style game. Yeah. So, Fire Emblem, in other words.
Yeah, it's the same thing, basically.
I think they're different enough to matter.
Yeah,
the levels they've shown in the few videos and images are very much Advance Wars. Very much top-down, almost mirrored levels.
Yeah.
And that same sort of art style is in play here, though they use it more on more fantasy-style units.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they got a nice video showing them putting together a level. Pretty simple level, but still it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's been sort of a secret project that their CEO has been working on since last summer.
Well, I'm glad we're seeing more of this kind of stuff, because this is kind of a genre that you don't really see too often on PC. I mean, there's ports of the ones that we know, like Disgaea and Valkyria Chronicles are on there, but yeah, it's nice to see a new original one.
Yep.
Seeing as
there was Future Wars a while back.
Yeah. But like I said, a while back. You don't see that kind of thing too often, so.
That's true.
Yeah. So, good stuff. Diablo 3. Okay, we talked about that already, so I'll just move ahead to Activision is delisting their Spider-Man and TMNT games. Probably because they sucked.
Somebody lost licensing term.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, they sucked. I'll just point that out.
Yeah.
In the Activision way, they had this stuff on sale during the holidays for most every digital store out there and didn't tell anybody that it was getting delisted.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
some people that passed on is like, it'll go on sale again. Like, nope. The Spider-Man one's likely due to Sony and Insomniac's new game. It's coming out at some point.
Yeah, that makes sense. We won't be seeing any more Activision Spider-Man games then. It's looking. I'm also wondering if Activision lost the rights to TMNT, who got them?
Most likely. But I don't know. We'll probably see something.
Yeah. Because I think pretty much anybody could do a better TMNT right now. I mean, that license has been passed around quite a bit.
Konami and Ubisoft had it most recently.
Yeah.
Namco?
Yeah.
Let Namco have it. Have you seen what they've done with Power Rangers?
Yeah, they managed to revitalize that pretty nicely. So,
pretty much in the mold of that six-player X-Men game.
Yeah.
And Namco has all of the anime licenses.
Yeah.
So throw in a similar to anime.
Yeah. You know, I would almost want to see another TMNT Tournament Fighters type game headed by Harada.
Maybe Cyber Connect 2?
No, Harada.
And they have to make sure to just come up with all the random bullshit that they did with the original.
Yeah, they just go completely over the top.
You know, throw in all four turtles, then maybe put two token villains, and then just go completely insane with the rest of them.
Yeah.
Just go Harada on it. That would actually be really promising, and specifically because we're in that post Street Fighter 4 state where any fighting game that comes out can be incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I just want a proper four-player beat 'em up before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had Reshelled a few years ago, and that went poorly.
Well, because they tried changing it.
Yeah.
They had to change it, I think. Because I don't think they had the license to the original assets.
Yeah.
Because that was Ubisoft, not Konami.
Yeah, Konami released the arcade port.
And that was fantastic.
Yeah, because it was the arcade port.
Yeah.
All right. Well, TMNT. Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, given the whole Michael Bay thing, I'm not enthused. But anyways. So coming out of CES 2017, we have the announcement of the Retro Boy, an $80 portable console.
Super Retro Boy.
Super Retro Boy. Plays Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color games.
Yep.
$80. It's supposed to be out in August. Has a nice high-resolution LCD screen.
Mm.
About 10 hours of play on its rechargeable battery.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that out there, because most of us probably still have our stuff. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the people that don't, though, it might be worth it, because, it's a GBA clone.
Yeah, basically. I mean, because that's original GBAs. I mean, they play
Game Boy and Game Boy Color also, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that, companies are still making these in 2017, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not too surprised. There's another company, I think out of Arizona, they're called Gamers Tech, that have started making clones of the NES and SNES, so...
Mm.
Which you can buy for very reasonable prices. They've got a SNES clone with HDMI for $50.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Amazon. Yeah.
Throw in SD card support and I'm in.
Yeah, it will work with flashcards, so there you go.
Oh.
So I guess to round out the show, we'll talk about our games of 2016. We won't spend too much time.
You missed one, Phil.
I did?
Steam Spy stats.
Oh, Steam Spy. Yeah, go ahead and go through these, because, these are weird.
Yeah, so Steam Spy is the... I don't know how you'd describe them. They somehow scraped the Steam databases and pull all sorts of data out of it.
They have robots that crawl the Steam APIs, and they can see all the stats that Steam has been posting.
Yeah, so they put out sort of a top list of a bunch of the data. And about 370 million games were sold in 2016 on Steam.
Hmm.
That includes codes redeemed from outside of Steam.
Yeah.
So that's quite a lot.
It's a lot of games.
About 1 million per day.
Yeah.
Yep.
5,245 games sold were added to Steam in 2016.
Yeah.
That's almost twice as much as in 2015.
Yeah.
And about as much as released in the 3 years prior to that. So 2013 to 2015.
Yeah.
Almost equaled, or that was a little bit more than what released in the past year for Steam.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. 600 games released in December alone.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, 40% of Steam's library came out in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That's obscene.
Yeah.
That's why they keep trying to overhaul the homepage to make it easier to find interesting things and ignore all the
A lot of it is bad stuff.
Hmm.
You know, all the stuff it sells for 99 cents or cheaper.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? It doesn't count microtransactions in their estimates on revenue and all that.
Hmm.
Because they suspect Dota 2 and CSGO are still huge for that, as well as a bunch of other third-party stuff. They got their top 25 games by estimated revenue and top 25 by new owners. Estimated revenue, Civilization 6 is the top with 1.5 million new owners.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Getting them about $79 million.
That ain't bad.
And right behind that is GTA 5, 2.3 million.
Which is surprising because that's a 3-year-old
73
game.
Million. Hmm. People still buy it.
Yeah.
And at full price. CSGO sold about 6.7 million copies. That game doesn't hardly ever go on sale. When it does, it's like $10 instead of, or maybe like $7.50. It's $15 normally. Mm-hmm. They don't ever put on deep discount like they do everything else that Valve does.
Hmm.
Up here in the top 25, some surprises. No Man's Sky's up there. About 800,000 sales at number 10. 43 Sorry. Million.
Shouldn't laugh.
Rocket League is right up there. 2.6 million sales in 2016. 32 million. Stardew Valley. 1.9, almost 2 million.
Yeah, it actually made right it's actually made more money than, Deus Ex, Dishonored 2, Mafia 3, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Yep. And two Football Manager games.
Yeah.
Going just by the pure sales, CS:GO was the top with 6.7 million, Rocket League number 2. Which is sort of crazy. I think Rocket League was the second best-selling game of all 2016. And I know that was the same on PS4. Rocket League was the number one best-selling digital game on PSN for PS4. So over all of the retail games, the great retail games that came out that year. Garry's Mod's number 3, 2.3 million. Yeah, Stardew Valley's number 5. Anything else? Undertale's at 1.4. It's number 12. Skyrim is 1.2 million, 17.
Hmm.
Terraria, 1.1. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of, some interesting,
a lot of games.
Yeah, interesting stats there. Let's see that. Skyrim is a game that came out in 2011 and still selling.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had the remaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what this one is.
Yeah.
This is the original version.
Yeah.
Those people got the remaster for free.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but I thought that the remaster was included in the price of this, so I figured that would have given it a boost.
I'm not sure how they have it situated right now, but before it was pretty much, if you bought Skyrim, you got that for free when it came out.
Yeah.
I imagine now it might be, they might have replaced it or something.
Yeah. So. Yeah, these kind of stats are fun. It's also fun to see the hardware stats, but it's not mentioned on this particular one.
List, yeah, so. I don't think they can track that so easily.
Yeah, Steam themselves put those stats out. Probably should be coming out pretty soon, so we'll have a look at that.
Yeah, that'll be fun to look at.
Hmm. We'll see if the 8800 GT is fallen off the list yet, because that's been the number one card for quite a long time. So, yeah. Alright, so we'll move on to our Game of the Year discussions, predictions, and stuff. I pulled up the article just so we can have it for reference. Won't go through it. Well, we'll go through it, but won't spend too much time on each of the games, because, well, I do want people to go over to the page and look at the article, because it's a good article. Danred put a lot of time into it. So we'll start with our number 10 game of the year, which is Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
I'm not
it for
sure
Christmas.
If any of it's Okay, there we go. Go ahead.
I got it for Christmas, but I haven't played it yet.
It
So number 10 it is.
is, yeah. So I think that's a problem. When you release a game in October, it's gonna end up being a game that a lot of people get for Christmas.
Yeah,
So it's
it
kind of
gets
a
shuffled.
yeah. But still, though, those who did play it, it's solid. It's Pokemon. You got a lot of grinding, and kind of just does the same thing it always did. Okay, and then we have a tie for number eight, Inside. Yeah.
Yeah, really good game.
And
That
Battlefield One.
game was pretty freaking amazing.
I didn't play it. If I did, it probably would have been on my list, but I didn't play it. It looks great. It looks like one of those games that stays with you, but I don't know. For some reason, I just never got around to playing it, just because my time and money is a little limited, so which is unfortunate. Also on number eight, we have Battlefield 1, which a
Yeah, it was
few
a
of us,
tie.
yeah, a few of us did play.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely sort of took the FPS genre and gave it a much needed kick in the ass.
Yeah.
That happened in a few ways this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Call of
And
Duty went off the rails completely.
yeah. Yeah.
So, it
And
was.
what really made Battlefield really sort of stand out from all the other ones is primarily its campaign.
Yeah.
Admittedly, as short as it was.
Still the most interesting one they've done since the campaigns for Battlefield 3 and 4 were pretty much just Call of Duty clones. And
Yeah.
yeah.
Hardline had an interesting premise of doing like a police procedural thing,
Yeah.
You
but
bet
didn't
it
really
sucked.
land it.
But this one, yeah, Battlefield 1, it gave a. They had to sort of. They had a really big sort of challenge to them because since this was a World War I setting, and since World War I, there was no, like, any type of group that you could historically consider as good guy or bad guy.
Yeah.
They basically had to make war itself the bad guy.
Yeah.
And it gives this game this real sort of existential point to it.
Yeah.
The way it sort of embraces sort of showing just sort of the sheer visceral bloody nature of turn of the century warfare.
Yeah.
Because this is like one of the few FPSs I've played where it really feels like you're shoving a bayonet into a dude.
Yeah.
The warfare in this game, the combat in this game is very up close and personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the tech sort of necessitates that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
You can't
will
just.
admit that maybe they used more a little more automatic weapons than was historically accurate,
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, rarely do you expect a first-person shooter campaign to present to you the first time when you start the campaign. Oh, you're going to die a lot on this mission. That's intended because
Yeah.
war sucks.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean that's literally.
What they say.
Yeah, I mean it's especially they make it clear about the RDD mission, the RDD part of the campaign because. The Arditi were the basically the elite shock troops of the Italian military.
Yeah.
Their whole MO was they your average Arditi was usually outfitted with just a handful of equipment, usually a dagger, a pistol, and a bunch of grenades. And the way what the thing was is they would either throw grenades directly into trenches or dig into trenches and a far rather famous image is the wild-eyed RDD with his tongue with his knife grit between his teeth, charging at you with a couple of two pistols. So, they did, however, miss out on some clever historical stuff they could have added there, because I don't know if you know this, but Mussolini was an RDD.
Yeah.
And he is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, well, he might end up as DLC.
DLC, yeah.
They seem like...
Yeah, there really ought to be, because honestly, pretty much all of the... pretty much all of the game's combat is pretty much all one-sided.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost all, you know, pretty much it's... I'm trying to remember, was it the Central Powers that were Germany and Serbia? I can't remember. But yeah, there's like a whole other part of the war that the game hasn't even covered yet. So,
Well, wait and see. Okay, so number 7, Pokemon Go. There's an interesting one because it's probably one of the few mobile games that we've actually ever covered on the site.
Yep.
And it was on almost everybody's list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, is there really much to say about it? It's a game that everybody has been playing. It got people out and about. It's basically Ingress, but with Pokemon, and that was enough to really make it successful.
It still has people out and about. We were in -6 wind chill yesterday.
Yeah.
Catching Pokemon.
Yeah.
With other people.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't the only ones.
They just dropped the Gen 2 Pokemon in recently, yes. So
mm-hmm.
now you got a whole new set of Pokemon to go after.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you hate to wish away the seasons and everything. Winter is definitely one to wish away, though.
Yeah.
until summer comes, then you can wish that away, too. Yeah. But one of the things we said last night when we were getting our final round of hitting Pokestops is, oh my God, I hope people come out even more, you know, again this summer, more than we're seeing out now in the winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be nice to have that community back.
Yeah. Well, I think what we're seeing now with Pokemon Go is that the people who, like, initially dropped in to see what it was all about have basically all fallen away.
They have.
And the only people who are left playing right now are just all of the really rabid Pokemon fans.
Yeah,
apparently so.
And
it's
that's
still doing really well.
The game sustained, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just switched out mobile phones.
Yeah.
In order to be able to go into our stairwell and get the Pokestop in the parking lot, people are rabid.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of them.
Yeah. So we'll see more about Pokemon Go this year, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Niantic is not done with this game. And with the massive amount of money that this game is making, it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
So number 6, we have The Witness, Jonathan Blow's latest darling.
Yep.
And very much a game that takes Myst in a new direction.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of focusing it on puzzles that are easy to grasp at first, but then manages to come up with a myriad of new mechanics to layer on to just make it easy to obsess about these puzzles. I would use my Elgato to take screenshots and try and use MS Paint to figure out what the solutions were. And
yeah.
I still have dust prints on my TV of me trying to draw solutions, just trying to figure out what the hell is going on with these puzzles.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment where you figure out there's actually another layer of puzzles that once you do is completely destroys your mind.
Yeah.
Because you're like, fuck, how many of these have I missed?
Yeah.
And you're going around just...
That's great.
If you could do some sort of like third-person view, you could see like your craziness of just looking around the environment. And it's just a really fantastic puzzle game.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that You will be surprised just how many variations you can put on Trace from here to here.
Yeah, kind of maze puzzles.
It's a lot of people complained about the price when this game came out at $40, but you get way more than $40 worth of value out of this game.
Oh, yeah.
Probably put 40 or 50 hours, which is hard to tell because the game doesn't actually keep track of any of that stuff.
No.
No.
So, which is
For the
unfortunate.
record, and I wanted to point this out, there is actually a plot to The Witness. There is a story, but as the same thing that happened with Braid, it's told so esoterically that you kind of have to figure it out yourself.
It's a story of madness and puzzles.
Well, that's apparently there's some issues that Jonathan Blow was working out while making this game. So,
Oh, yeah.
and if this game was therapeutic for him, all the better, because holy crap, did it ever turn out well. So, good stuff. That was number six. At number five, we have The King of Fighters 14, a game that surprised both Pat and I for being as complete a package as you can possibly get, while also being an amazing return to form for SNK.
It was exactly what the genre needed when it needed it. And I think if anything, SNK and Atlus have maybe not done as good of a job at driving that point home as they should have. But at the same time, for those who know, any complaints anyone might have had about Street Fighter V, you're not going to have about King of Fighters 14 because this game feeds you well. And
And in just a couple of weeks, we're going to have patch 1.1, which is a major overhaul to the entire game. When does that ever
Well,
happen?
it's just a graphics patch. It's not a balance patch.
No, it's not a balance patch, but yeah, there's a lot going on here as far as the graphics go.
Yeah, it's a complete graphical overhaul, which does not happen.
And it's like, yeah, let's redo all of that again. Let's relight 50 characters. Oh yeah, and let's to fiddle with the backgrounds too, because they could use a little work. Maybe we'll fix those menus too. I don't know. We haven't seen whether or not they're going to do that or yet, but we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's like they
Yeah,
remastered the
actually.
game.
I want to see that new SNK stinger when I boot up, though.
Yes. That alone would be worth the patch.
Could be a 6 gig patch.
The
I
new
don't care as
splash
long as I
screen.
see that.
Okay, I'm happy.
Done. Okay, I can turn it off now. Okay, number four, Legend of Heroes: Trails of Cold Steel 2. This one is up pretty high.
Justified, absolutely.
This is also a game that isn't even on most sites' lists. So yeah, we got a lot of people who have been playing this one. It is PS3. So yeah, that kind of does limit your audience a little bit at this point, but it's a quality game. Great story, great characters. The humor is still there.
How long have I been saying that Falcom is the best thing about the RPG genre?
A long time.
It just continues here, and the fact that even when you're taking into account the three games that we've yet to get over here, one of them on the way early this year, when taking those three games into account, we're only just now hitting the halfway point in Kondo-san's original concept for this story. That's insane.
And it seems to
And
me like they really do want to bring everything over. So,
yeah.
yeah. So we get there's a
They
lot
are
of the
doing their
Legend of
damnedest.
Heroes left to be told, and yeah. It's gonna be great.
Well, there's a lot of trails left to be told. After that's done, there's still going to be, the potential for new arcs in the Legend of Heroes series, just like it existed before Trails in the Sky. It's this is This is just a singular thought that emerged after the series had just emerged from what had been a trilogy.
Yeah.
And
kind of blossomed they from are, there.
They are to modern gaming what Square Enix was in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Hey, Sony, we need PS3 back compat, like, now.
Yeah.
Seems like it would be smart if Neon Falcom could bring all of those games to PS4.
Yeah.
Trails in the Sky, SC, and all the Trails as Cold Steel games up.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised.
They definitely could. It wouldn't take a whole lot of effort either.
Well,
I won't be at all surprised if Kadokawa releases something under the Evolution brand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the PS4 here in the coming months.
Yeah.
Or at least announces it. Because they've just finished doing the Evolution versions of the first 5 games.
Yeah.
Maybe the third isn't quite out yet, but
yeah.
The only downside to that is it's not Falcom doing the day-to-day development. It's Kadokawa.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, the Evolution titles have all been really well received.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe something like that could be possible on PS4.
Yeah.
A Cold Steel 1 and 2 double pack or something.
Yeah. All right, so we're into our top 3. At number 3, Doom. This is another game on a lot of our list. I think almost everybody had this one on the list.
Completely surprised all of us.
Yeah,
biggest surprise of the year.
Biggest surprise of the year in that it was way better than any of us expected it to be. Despite the
really
niggles
way
that
better
I had,
than it had any right to be.
Despite the niggles that I had with it, you know, it's still a really solid game. It's vicious. It's just a brutal. Just hey, it's Doom.
Yep.
And then you have add to that amazing industrial score that Mick Gordon put together, and it's like holy crap.
Yeah.
It's just. It manages to be, like, adrenaline pumping and also incredibly atmospheric at the same time. It's
just
really...
like the original.
Yeah. Just like the original. And, it's nice to know that, this team at id Software has that kind of talent now.
Especially without Romero and John Carmack and them.
Yeah.
Leading the way.
Yeah. Well, I've said... Romero recently released a Doom map for Doom, duh. Mm-hmm. We were like, my friend was looking at it. It's like, you know, like I can do better than that. In fact, he has. I'm really not to toot his own horn there. Well, mine too, because I'm part of this project. But what we're doing with the Doom engine has not been done before. Just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to be able to show it, and it's probably going to be ready in a couple of weeks.
Cool. I think I have some idea of what some of those things are, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you have an idea of the tech, but you have no idea on just how James has put this together. He has... It's like... It's weird, okay? This is a little bit of a tangent, because... James is a truck driver by trade. Okay, he's not a very tech-savvy kind of person. But when he was able to grasp Doom Builder and Slade 3 to, you know, edit textures and stuff, and this guy will sit down at a map editor and just... put out some of the most amazing stuff that I have ever seen. No joke. He is like, he's a savant when it comes to that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. That doesn't really relate to Doom 2016 in any way, but hey.
Yeah.
We diverge on this show.
Yeah, it's part of the format.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So let's move to number 2 on the on our list, which was Overwatch.
Big surprise.
Actually, no, it wasn't really that big of a surprise, given how good this game was.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody played that, except me.
So, and he's working on fixing that.
Yeah, eventually I'll play it, I don't know. Not much for competitive-type shooters, to be honest, but anyways. So Overwatch, a game that has all kinds of personality and a very fine balance of tactics and action, you know. And it has that Blizzard charm that everybody comes to know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Not really that big of a surprise to know that it's up there at number 2.
Yep.
Yeah, just the notion that this game came out of a failed MMO.
Yeah.
It's sort of the big surprise that they just said, oh, we couldn't figure out this MMO thing. It's like a whole potential successor to World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But oh, we're going to make the most personality-filled first-person shooter we've seen since Team Fortress 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, part of me thinks that maybe the fact that MMO failed was kind of intentional. You know, Blizzard knows how to do MMOs. It's not a matter of they couldn't figure it out. I think it was more, do we really want to do another one of these?
Yeah.
And maybe they're trying to do something. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to do something as like a shooter MMO.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you got Destiny popping out there, and then Division was getting its big trailers and weird demos at E3 for a few years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said, this isn't coming together as well as what these might. So they regrouped and thought of a new thing and worked out really well.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to pare things back a little bit and, you know, and focus. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Overwatch is a great example of what happens when that works well. And that's why it's at our number 2 spot. And finally, number 1, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
Yeah, this is... It's rare that we ever see anybody try to put a cap on a series. Mm-hmm. And it's also even rarer that they do it in any kind of satisfactory way.
Yeah.
But somehow Naughty Dog was the one that managed to do that.
Yep.
In a way that I still actually think about that ending.
Hmm.
Like every week, usually just think about how good that was.
Oh, yeah.
And you're never really happy. You're always happy about finishing games. This one, I was less happy that I finished it, more just happy that the characters that I followed for the last almost 10 years actually got a good ending, got to a good place in their lives.
Yeah.
And that you're not, you know, sit there, just thinking, you know, what if?
Yeah.
They just put it on a nice cap and it's like, oh,
you know, they're married and had a daughter.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Moved on, became big TV stars.
Yep.
They're rich and live at a beach house.
Yep. And we've just spoiled the ending for Uncharted 4, but that's okay.
Don't really care. The game's over a year old now.
Yeah.
Statute of limitations.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's not the destination, it's the journey.
Yeah, it really is. Also, one of the things I should point out about Uncharted 4 is it has kind of that, I don't know what they call it, the casual mode or something like that, where they just drop the difficulty down so you can just go through it and enjoy the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of good options for accessibility.
Yeah. Which is very rare in a game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, another reason why I need to get this one. No joke. I think I'll need to pick up the Nathan Drake collection and pick up Uncharted 4 while I'm at it, because this looks great.
Yeah.
So those are our top 10 games of the year for 2016. We could end the show there, but what I want to talk about a little bit before we do is what we're looking ahead to for 2017. This could be, you know, games or trends you want to see happen. Basically, whatever. We're looking ahead. This is our predictions part of the program. So let's go around the horn and see what we got. Pat, you want to start?
Well, the definitive game that we know is coming, I've got a couple of them, but that I can tell you right out, I want them. I know I'm going to enjoy the hell out of them, and I can already pretty much pencil them into my 2017 games of the year. Trails in the Sky the third, and Tekken 7. Those are just, yeah,
Yeah.
that is a thing that's going to happen.
And those are early in the year too.
I think both of them are spring,
Yeah.
from what I understand.
Yep.
Apart from that, I think all these videos from Tokyo RPG Factory are leading somewhere,
Yeah.
and sooner rather than later. So whatever that project ends up being, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be all in on.
Yeah.
So those are the games that are really making me hopeful for 2017, along with the obvious, Persona 5, stuff like
Yeah.
that. The extended localization may have dulled my hype for it a little bit, but I'll still be there when it comes out, and I'll still thoroughly enjoy it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But really, it all comes back to those three games, Tekken 7, Trails in the Sky the third, and whatever's next from Tokyo RPG Factory.
What about you, Brandon? You got predictions or stuff you're looking forward
Uh,
to?
most things looking forward to, well, you kind of already know one of them.
Mass Effect Andromeda, of course.
Also, Persona 5, Trails of Sky 3rd, let's see, Injustice 2, I guess, also. It's like I said, I really enjoyed the first one. I hope that the Switch comes out and that we get that particular lineup coming out with it. Really, my biggest hope is the hope that the Switch comes out and actually succeeds and helps make Nintendo a bit a player again. And not just with first party development, but with third party development as well. I'm hoping that as the year goes on, we'll get more info about Trails of Cold Steel 3, and that we
I think
might,
that's a given.
yeah, and that we'll get a solid release date, and I kind of hope it'll come out this year,
Ooh,
which
that would be.
is probably going to be a no-go, but I still wish it.
So do I. I'm right there with you, man.
I want to see Cosmic Star Heroine come out because I've been really anticipating that game, and it was supposed to come out last year. I am wanting to start seeing, stuff from like Shenmue 3 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake start coming into fruition. I don't really have any predictions, other than the fact that if the Switch comes out and is a financial success, it will probably be a major game changer. And we'll basically create a whole new market in the video game world that some of the other groups might, some of the other companies might want to look into.
Yeah, cool.
And also, I'm wanting the next Sonic games to come out and not suck.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, I think that's pretty much a given.
one of them will probably not suck. Mania is looking like it won't. Sonic 2017, we don't know yet. We'll wait and see on that one.
It's built on the foundation of generations, so that's a very good sign.
That's pretty much me.
All right, how about you, Teresa?
I want one thing. And one thing only. I'll take whatever else comes. But the one thing that I want is I want a new Animal Crossing game. I
A
mean,
proper one.
You know, the addition of the Amiibo cards for New Leaf, that's great. And I do still play, but come on, come on. So I am really watching what's happening with the Switch because that's going to be where it's going to come out.
It is. Well,
So, there's an Animal Crossing game coming for mobile.
that is true.
And You know, that's that's actually not a bad platform for that particular game.
But it'll be... The problem is it'll be as much an Animal Crossing game as Pokemon Go is a Pokemon game.
Yep, that's exactly where it's at.
Well, I don't know. Maybe if you look at Super Mario Run, it's definitely a Mario game.
I mean, I'll play it on mobile, but I'm expecting a deep, rich, immersive... what I've been used to.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. And then the other thing that I will echo Pat's sentiment. I want to see what comes out of Tokyo RPG Factory. I want to see what else they come up with.
They're making these videos for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at Setsuna, I mean, from teaser to release, it wasn't that long.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep. But other than that, as far as actual announced games, I'm going to pick up Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World. And then Sonic Mania, that will be pre-ordered, I'm absolutely sure.
But the
one thing that I absolutely want, and I want delivered this freaking year, is I want a new Animal Crossing.
I have a feeling
it should be next or soon.
Yeah.
It needs to be.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long time since New Leaf came out.
Yeah. Yeah. My guess is there was one in the works for the Wii U, and that's been moved to Switch. That's what I'm thinking.
I'll take it any day.
So
I also predict, I just wanted to jump in because we brought up Animal Crossing. I also predict that with the Switch, we're also going to get a new IP from Nintendo.
Probably.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
They're good at sprinkling new IP here and there a couple times a generation.
And they gave us Splatoon last generation, so...
Yeah. Splatoon also making its way to the Switch, I should point
out.
Yep. Mm. So how about you, Chris? What do you got this year?
Let's see. 2017... Probably the big thing I'm looking forward to is seeing the further maturation of the VR landscape. Seeing developers figure out new control methods and new ways of just handling tracking and all that. So that the games sort of get to a point where they've got the basics in good shape and can just further expand on that.
Mm.
And move away a bit from the sort of minigame collection or the, hey, we've got our shooter gallery.
Yeah.
Or our, simple adventure game thing.
Yeah.
Sort of get to the point where you can get more sandboxy games, more social experiences, and just more interesting stuff.
Hmm.
And sort of along with that, just... seeing indies just kick more ass and do more cool things out there.
Yeah.
And see more attempts at making games that deserve to be $40, $50, $60 out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That can start to destroy people's assumptions that these games can't be just as big and time intensive as the ones that need a million people to make them.
Yeah.
You're here. Like, seriously, The Witcher 3 had amazing graphics, a gigantic world, tons of content, and it was made with a quarter of amount of the people that, made the latest Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So.
And even just look at stuff like Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
One dude.
You can easily put in a couple hundred hours.
Yep, man, it was made just one guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who had been working on it for 4 or 5 years because he saw that the Harvest Moon games weren't really doing what the fans wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the notice of Natsume big time.
Mm.
It's like, oh, that one guy just ate our lunch.
It's like, yeah, we're not making the games that people want, but this guy did. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely want to see... how some of these more nostalgia games come out.
Hmm.
Stuff like the Crash Bandicoot trilogy.
Yeah.
I would definitely want to see how that turns out. And See how some of the Wipeout collection, the Parappa the Rapper, the Voodoo Vince, remastered thing. Hope Microsoft can maybe dip a bit more into even their limited nostalgia stash.
Project Gotham 4, perhaps?
Maybe.
Or 5.
But even just the return of Crackdown 3 would be nice to see, because that's disappeared.
Radio silence on that one for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And, see some of their other work, and as well, Nintendo is obviously going to probably drop their big load on Thursday of here's every IP that you expect us to make.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you're going to be able to do both on the go and at home.
Yeah.
I expect definitely Animal Crossing to be a game that comes out probably the first year or so.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much skipped the whole Wii U generation.
Yeah.
It did.
It was the first platform that they never released.
Yeah.
An original Animal Crossing game on it. I don't count that board game. Crap.
No.
Which was just a sign of them not really having much to do there, because they just said, hey, we're going to make Mario Party with Animal Crossing, and here's all these amiibos, and nobody buys them, so they're dirt cheap now. Which is good, because I can get my Tom Nook figure in for like $5 like a couple weeks after it came out. It's like, they got way too much stock for this.
Yeah.
I'll just grab it for $5. That's good.
Yeah.
God, Lee must be pissed now.
Yep.
Yeah, you missed another show for crazy reasons.
Yeah, ice.
Every week it seems to be.
Yeah.
It's like, my headset broke. Oh, the holidays are coming. Oh, now there's ice. And we have no power.
No power.
I mean, that's Murphy's Law in full effect.
Yep.
For like the past 2 months, poor guy.
Yeah. Kind of sucky for him. So.
By the time he gets back on here, there's going to be a new Dragon Quest game out.
Yeah.
That's not even a joke. That's a factual statement.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest 8 is out in the 20th.
Yeah. So.
Oh my god.
As for games that I'm looking forward to, Persona 5 is a big one. Seems like it's going to be a big year for RPGs with Mass Effect and Persona 5. Nier Automata to an extent. That's kind of a weird mix.
I still need to try the demo of that.
Yeah, I've seen that being played and it looks ridiculous. Definitely some other stuff that's coming out, like Horizon Zero Dawn. We don't really know too much about what's definite for this year. Yeah, I'm looking at this Wikipedia, like, here's what's coming out this year. And it's like, after March or April, there's nothing definite.
Yeah.
We still have yet to hear more about Scalebound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's on a milk carton right now.
The good platinum or the platinum.
I think that's the good platinum, hopefully.
I don't know.
So.
Seems like the good platinum's on Nier. See what other stuff. Cuphead, that looks really cool.
Yeah, that should finally come out, hopefully.
Yeah, Dragon Quest XI, hopefully.
Yep.
Later this year.
Oh, yes.
I'd even like to see Detroit Become Human from...
Quantic Dream.
Yeah,
Quantic Dream.
That game looks really interesting.
Yeah.
And
again, so did Beyond Two Souls. And
I like that game more. That was a cool, interesting thing.
Yeah.
We got Gran Turismo Sport supposed to be out this year.
Yep.
See what that does.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's a real Gran Turismo game, so you know.
Yeah. Let's see what else is coming out. Oh yeah, the Hot Shots golf game. That should be out this year. It's gonna be really cool. That's sort of like an open world Hot Shots golf game. You're just letting the sun out.
But okay.
You get to explore like a whole resort.
Yeah.
And so you're able to do things other than just golf. So you can go troll people or play tennis or go fishing or play some of the other sports that are on the resort.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. That could be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Lots of cool stuff is coming out this year. Yeah, we got Red Dead Redemption 2.
No, that's never. That's not coming out this year.
Yeah.
That is not
coming still out. Right now.
We,
right
we
now,
can just forget is. About. Yeah.
Right now it says it is, but yeah. Trust me, that's not.
Yeah, coming it's out. Good to dream.
Yeah.
This is Rockstar we're talking about. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but maybe they told themselves it was going to be out this year or 2016, and so they're getting that early delay out of the way.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe see Destiny 2, yeah. Whatever that is. Because they sure put out Rise of Iron as like a patchwork expansion to keep people busy for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of good stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be.
A and it's just year. The it's the stuff that we don't know that's the most exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, you know, obviously I'm looking forward to Tekken 7. Gonna definitely buy that when it comes out. Ukulele this year, be picking that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's in April, so yeah, we'll be getting that and get my traditional rare type platformer. Back. I would say Bloodstained, but we already know that's been pushed back to 2018, so that's not coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else? Well, hopefully Chase can get his development issues together, and we'll see Drift Stage out this year.
That's in a pretty good place right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm hoping that actually
just
comes
the other
out
day
year.
Tried the latest build.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little rough a little while ago, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the latest build, they're back doing, they're back on Sunset City.
Yeah.
And it feels really good. You got a good selection of cars to choose from.
They sort out the fact that the cars can turn in place. You can't do that anymore now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was weird. Yeah. But yeah, there's that. But yeah, what I'm really looking forward to this year is to see hopefully a couple of other companies, like maybe Namco and Capcom, take a really serious look at SNK and Sega with what they're doing and actually start, you know, rejiggering themselves, basically.
Self-evaluation.
Yeah, self-evaluation. You know, the SNK being purchased by Leiyu Millennium was easily the best thing that could have happened to them.
New story of 2016,
yeah,
perhaps?
Well, for us it would be. It went, pretty much went under everybody else's radar. But, I like to see these...
We were maybe the only podcast that gave that story its due.
Yeah. So... You know, I'd like to see Namco get themselves back together in certain areas. I mean, their arcade division is okay, but like you, Pat, I really would like to see a proper Ridge Racer come out.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. That would be nice. And I'm also going
to
predict...
Implications to a recent video I posted.
Yeah. And now I'm going to actually make my prediction that will probably not come true, but... Okay. I think Miyamoto is going to retire this year. And why do I think that? Well, he has been doing the same job years and years and years and years. And the fact that Star Fox Assault was kind of his baby, and he swore by it, and
it bombed.
It
bombed.
Hit with a thud.
Yeah. It hit with a thud, and then
he really is no longer that good at his job. let's just come right out and say it.
Yeah. So I don't know how much input he had into Super Mario Run, because that turned out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's basically making the same game that he's made for years. So
pretty much. I would, at least if he does retire this year, I would like him to be at least on one last project so that Star Fox Zero isn't the game he goes out on.
Valid.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him actually redeem himself a little bit, but, you know, all that he would really have to do to make Star Fox Zero not suck is get rid of those crappy controls and put it on the Switch. There you go. That's done. Job done.
Yeah. That should be part of the announcement.
Yeah. Star Fox Zero Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I even named it for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's kind of controversial to think maybe that he's going to retire, but yeah, I think it is in the cards at this point. He's gonna do it sooner or later, and you know, I don't think that means he goes away. You know, I think he takes an executive position.
Yeah,
he heads up. He basically starts working with Kimishima, and you know, that would be a pretty good team. He'd be a liaison with the developers. And
he can still be, you know, their spokesman, more or less.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The fans know him. They like him.
Yeah.
He's very iconic.
Yeah.
Let him be the public face of Nintendo.
Yeah, because they really need it right now.
As he goes into sort of semi-retirement on the development side of things, I can see him getting involved here and there as like a consultant on certain projects.
Yeah.
But there isn't a major franchise that he works on these days that someone isn't in place to take over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let him do stuff like, you know, play guitar with the Roots like he did with Jimmy Fallon. Let him do stuff like that.
Yeah. But
and you know, if we're honest, he probably sold some Switches that night.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he
probably
did. Yeah. It's like, yeah. But yeah, it's like Onuma is very, very good at what he does at this point. So yes. Zelda is in a good place.
Yep.
Metroid, not so much.
I think,
That series needs some love at this point, because the last two games, Other M, and then we had, what is it?
Federation Force.
Oh, yeah. It's the game that was so bad, I can't even remember its name.
Yeah.
Something needs to happen on that front. If that would be his last game, and he manages to knock it out of the park like they did with Prime, well, okay. I'd be okay with that. A 3D Metroid?
This, of course. Yeah, a 3D Metroid, I'd love that.
Yeah. We've already had it.
This, of course, is all predicated on the fact that he does, in fact, retire this year, and the reality that he's probably still got a few more years left in him.
Yeah. I've got it. Reach out to the fan community.
Oh, God, they need that right now.
No, reach out to the fan community, find the developers for AM2R, and have Miyamoto work with them on a Switch version.
Yeah, that would kind of erase that whole problem, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd buy the shit out of that.
AM2R, actually renamed as Metroid 2 Remastered and coming out on the Switch. That would be a very good way to gain back some goodwill.
Oversight.
Yeah.
And a budget.
Yeah, because
that would be incredible.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And honestly, Metroid 2 deserves it.
Yeah, yeah. Metroid 2's biggest problem was the fact it was on the Game Boy.
They never really quite did right by that game.
Yeah.
So, and it was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was just on the Game Boy.
Yep. So that would be a really solid Miyamoto retirement project.
Yeah. So... yeah, we'll wait and see, I guess. Yeah, I know I say that a lot, but hey, that's pretty much what we can do at this point, you know?
Yeah.
So
we are master speculators.
Yeah.
We are really good at coming up with this shit, and honestly, we're pretty accurate.
Yeah, sometimes we are. Sometimes we're a few years ahead.
Yep.
Like when I called PS2 emulation on the PS4.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And finally, I'm going to end off with my prediction for SNK. I think 2017 is going to be a massive year for them.
They've already said they've got several projects they want to announce. So.
Yeah. I'm thinking three of them already. Samurai Showdown is definitely going to be one of them. Metal Slug will be another, and the third one will probably be kind of an out there one, but it might be World Heroes.
Mm.
Because that's a game that has, yeah, it was ADK, but that was like, you know.
Whatever. It was ADK. I'm trying to figure out what the rights situation on that brand is now. If SNK has it, that would be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would go in a slightly different direction just because there are so many things pointing to Garo 2 at this point.
Mm.
But I would absolutely be on board with a proper World Heroes 3.
Yeah.
And bring the same mentality that they took into development with the first game and just apply that same mentality knowing everything that's happened in the genre since.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you could have a game that maybe may not be functionally sound but would still be ahead of its time as far as the ideas that could apply. Hmm. And that's exactly what World Heroes needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Garo 2 is going to happen. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot
of signs.
There are
too many people at SNK that want it to happen right now.
Yeah. So, you know, that's going to happen. But, you know, whether it happens before World Heroes or maybe Ishiwatari gets back into the groove and they end up with Last Blade 3, because that's also a possibility.
That would be amazing.
So, hopefully SNK doesn't just limit themselves to fighting games, because, you know, clearly they really need to branch out a little bit.
I think they will in the short term.
Yeah.
But then as they grow, they'll start going into other traditional genres of theirs, like shmups and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Metal Slug.
Yeah. So. And yeah, I think we got a show, guys. It's been kind of a long one, but... you know,
good show.
First show of the year. We got a lot to cover. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. So with that, I'll remind everybody that you can subscribe to us on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, and or through RSS using your favorite podcatcher, if you happen to have one of those. You can, you can do that. Check us out at smashpad.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search for Days Under Update. You'll find us. As for that, I'm Filippo D'Anolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Ryan Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And we'll see you all next week.